Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today's guest is no stranger to John Shannon and Darren Millard. This is 100% Hockey.
Doug McLean?
No. Oh. It's a guy that came into the business under our tutelage in Colby Armstrong. But now he's a star. So every time I see him on TNT or I watch him doing different things with the league, I think, I made that guy.
You deserve credit for convincing him to become a broadcaster.
Yeah. Well, because he's just fun. And he's self-conscious enough, always was, that he wasn't going to float through it. Like he was, you knew he was going to work at it.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't so sure. I'm never sure about former players.
And that's true. How many players have you heard who were, when they were playing, great quotes, oh, that guy's going to be great in the media, and then they get involved and they don't work a lick?
No.
And they flash in the pan.
And they last 14 days. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, but you know, you do have to work at it. And what Colby's been able to do is understand that and work at it. I must give credit to guys like you and Nick, who, and no one in the last 25 years in my mind has worked harder than Nick Kyprios at trying to be better at this craft and understanding how much work it takes. And I think Colby saw that. I think Colby saw that firsthand and saw his success, Nick's success, and said, I want to do that too.
And both managed to maintain their sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. Basketball right now, we're going through a gamut of star players becoming analysts. Obviously, the National Football League analysts like Tom Brady, stars. Major League Baseball, a lot of guys were high-profile players.
Yeah, Smoltz.
John Schmoltz, Ron Darling. I mean, guys that were, you know.
Pedro.
Sure. But here's, in our world, it's always been grinders. Because
backup goalies.
And goaltenders. And it's because they see the game from a different perspective, and they know they have to work at it to stay in the game, and that work ethic continues. It always continues. And it
so here's the challenge today for us.
Yeah.
Because things can go sideways in a real hurry with Colby Armstrong. Just telling stories and having fun.
They never go sideways with you? Seriously? Well, they never go sideways with you?
With the conversation, we can get so off track. And I love going off track. That's my favorite thing. But we do have to get to some business around the Pittsburgh Penguins. So please keep me honest today and make sure we get into the discussion about Malkin's announcement. And sounds like he's done. Everything says he's done this year. And Sidney, what's going on with Sid in his future? We do have some serious business with a guy that covers the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay, we can do that. I'll keep you honest.
I'm not promising we won't go off track, but just bring us back a little bit.
That's usually been my job my whole life. So,
Arm Dogs coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm always excited to talk to my good friend Army. Arm Dog. Colby Armstrong. We've got so many stories over the years, and none of them involve John Shannon. So that's the best part about this is we can reminisce, and he doesn't impact any of it.
None of them involve me, and I am thrilled to say that.
Well, one just recently at the draft. I ran into you, Darren, at the draft. It was
great.
It was a Western contingent lobby hangout. I turned around after talking with you and right into the McQueen family from Saskatoon and his agency, all from Saskatchewan. And yeah, it was crazy. It was cool to see you there.
Sorry, your brother Riles? Riles was looking good?
Yeah. This was the draft where, because it was all remote, everybody was just looking for a friend to talk to.
Yes. It was the weirdest thing, John. Yeah. It was like some media, some agents, the kids and their families. And like, that's it. Like it was like, and the representatives from each team. So like my brother with the Flyers and they sent their player development guys. So it was rather odd, I will say, comparatively to the other drafts that I've been lucky enough to go to, with the excitement, the buzz, the faces, the NHL celebrities that are kind of there that you're used to seeing on TV. So
you mean like Darren Millard?
Aaron Millard, but he was in a perfect position, John, in the lobby, right on the corner when you're walking around, right on the edge, so you for sure see him.
But Colby, there was a reason for that.
Yeah. I'm not dumb, and I'm not new. I'm a veteran at this. The agents, like, explain this. They were bumping into each other, like, because they had no idea what to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was. People milling around, just literally bumping into each other with like small talk hockey stuff. But it was actually nice. It was actually nice. You talk to the kids. It was rather more relaxed than the craziness of a regular draft, I would say. So it was good that way. But yeah, it was a little bit odd. I think everyone was kind of out of sorts with it attending, especially the agents when they're used to handling their clients in a certain way. It was just so different.
Agents usually work in the hockey people, but there was no hockey people. So they had to talk to each other or us.
Media guys that they wanted to avoid. Yeah.
That's exactly. We've been never more accepted than we were at that draft. Hey, did you go to your draft?
Did I go? Yes. It was in Florida, down in Sunrise. And it was one of the few times that I'd flown on a plane. First time I'd been to Florida. Swam in the ocean for the first time at one of my pre-draft meetings with the Phoenix Coyotes at the time, with Warren Wright.
They asked you if they can swim or what?
I said I'd never swam in the ocean. Their minds were blown. And right after, it was with Shane Sherla and Warren Reichel. And right after the meeting was done, Reichel's like, come with me. You want to swim? Like, they had a nice hotel on the ocean. I was staying at like the La Quinta Suites in the middle of nowhere. With my mom, like, we're from Saskatchewan. My mom's like, look at the size of these shrimps. We were like that family.
So Reichel took you swimming?
Took me swimming. Yeah. First time I'd ever been in an ocean. He took me and let me go for a swim. And like, it was awesome. Great guy. And then
he doesn't own the ocean. He doesn't have to let you go for a swim.
Yeah. The man they call Bundy. What a beauty. Yeah. And then all these years later, John, I've been at prospects games with you with Sportsnet and then Memorial Cup stuff, but running into him later down the road, still on the circuit and obviously with the Windsor Spitfires previously, but it just a small world hockey.
Oh, it is indeed. I mean, and there's no greater personality in the game in so many levels than Warren Reichel. I mean, heck, when you think of him as a player, and then you're right, what he did in Windsor and what he's done as a scout and player personnel with the Oilers, it's he's one of those guys. He's a lifer.
Yeah, he had a great story with us. We ran into him at breakfast at the Prospects game. One of the Prospects, no, it might have been Memorial Cup. We were in Red Deer. I just know we were in Red Deer. I forget which year it was. And we caught him at breakfast, and he's just like eating his breakfast, just piling food in his mouth. And we start asking him about Sergachev. This was in like Sergachev's draft year. And he's like, oh, kid's unbelievable. Just puts a chunk of sausage in his mouth. Kid's unreal. He's got six different kinds of shots. And then as he's eating, he's listing the shots, like wrist shot, snapshot, backhand, old school wrister. And then he slapper one time. Then he gets to sifter. Just sifter. Unbelievable. That's where I got the sifter from, was Warren Reichel, Bundy, with the sifter from the blue line.
And he skates with his grandfather in his rocking chair. He skates like his grandfather in a rocking chair. That's exactly what he does.
I use sifter once a week on the air in our broadcast.
It's great. The sifter. It's unbelievable threat from the point to get it through.
What is the sifter for people that don't know?
It's like a D-man just kind of walks the line a little, finds a seam. Like I think of Wade Redden. Wade Redden was a guy that could just had that little wrist shot that could just bleed through traffic and get through everyone right through to the net. Just like not a hard shot, just a purposeful on net shot from the point that gets through.
Sounds like Nick Lidstrom too.
Yeah, Nick Lidstrom. Yeah, another great guy that could just got pucks through all the time. And Sergachev with the lethal sifter.
Oh my God. If I'm sitting at home and watching a Penguin game and you use sifter and then 2 hours later, this broadcast, I may just go off the deep end. I might just go off the deep end with the Sifter brothers. You know,
I mean, well, I know you, Channy, with your four TV setup of catching all the games, you'll be back and forth, and it'll work good for you. You'll be dreaming about sifters after that couple.
It is a great description for that shot, though.
It is perfect.
It works out perfect. And there's a few guys that do have it. Shea Theodore's got it here in Vegas. The one that we used, Alex Petrangelo, has it. Won't see that this year. But for the ability to get the shot through with a little bit of pace accurately, sift it.
Just sift it.
Who came up with that? Did you ask Bundy who?
Oh, I don't know. He just kind of threw it out there with like food flying out of his mouth at breakfast. Guy's an absolute beast, scouting forever, played forever, scouting forever in the game. I mean, you're bound to pick some lingo up, I guess, and that's one that stuck with me. It's a great descriptive line for that shot.
Or word. Bundy, one of the great success stories of Wayne Gretzky in LA, right, John?
Well, he was. You know, he was. There's a ton of guys. And, you know, and it's funny, not to deflect from your comment there, but the moment I think of Warren Reichel and the way he played, I think of Brad Smith and the way he played. And both of them became great scouts. Both of them became great students of the game and have made careers out of not necessarily being great players, but great evaluators. Mm-hmm.
Army, did you ever think about going the player development or coaching route like your brother did?
Yeah, I think it, like, what else do you know, right? I you know, when you're done, and I was done at 31 years old, and had an inkling that, like, TV, because of you got me going when I was playing. I worked with you in the Stanley Cup final in 2009, which was like brutal to go back to Pittsburgh, but I was lucky I got to hang out with you guys, your crew guys.
That's because Millard likes people to be in pain. I was around for that too, and there's Colby Armstrong. And why would anybody subject Colby Armstrong to the Penguins being in the Stanley Cup final after being traded to Atlanta? Why would anybody do that to him?
I don't know. These guys, they say they're your friends.
But it was emotional because you had been traded to Atlanta and all of a sudden Pittsburgh's in the Stanley Cup final. And as a human being, it's one of the more emotional scenes that I've witnessed. You standing in the press box watching your friends and former teammates skate onto the ice for the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to react that way, but... Yeah, Kipper was awesome. He's like, you'll get your shot. Boy, was he wrong. Didn't get my shot. But being with you guys, and I'll never forget that. You called me. I was actually like at a keg I was at a keg in Saskatoon with like my friends watching the conference finals. And you're like, you should come do this. It'd be great. And I was like, I don't think I can do that. Like, no, I'm just no. Next day, same thing. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I just like, this will be a great experience. And it was, but it was a difficult, I didn't expect that emotional reaction, but back to the story, you're like 31, retired. What are you going to do? All you know is hockey. So it's like, what are the jobs? You know, the education of like, I know more now, obviously on the flip side guys, than when you're just playing and you're a player and you're just super focused on being a player. But like, what are the jobs? What do the jobs entail? What do you do? How much do you make? Like, I had no clue. Like, I had all these questions. And actually, Billy Guerin, when he was here in Pittsburgh, came up to me and he asked me like a really simple, like, he's like, hey, what do you want to do? Because I was starting to do media stuff. And like, when he asked me that, I was like I froze. I was like, I have no clue what I want to do, like in hockey, when it comes to player development, scouting, possibly coaching. I had no clue. Ryan McGill, ex Western League coach as well, grabbed me and he got me at a, I think it was in Windsor actually, at a prospects game, and I just had a chat with him after one of the like dinners that they have there, and I started just picking his brain, like what does this job mean? And if you're in player development, you know, he kind of laid out the framework of like the trajectory of where this path leads in hockey business. And so he was really great in explaining that to me. And I was like, okay. And this time I had already been a few years into doing the media thing and I was starting to enjoy it, starting to get a little better at it and learning. So I'm happy with what I'm doing. I love it. I love what I'm doing. And I see my brother and how hard he works in player development and what that entails. And I'm like, I'm just going to do this. I'm not going to get back in the game and chase. And like, you know, of course you have to chase work and what we do, but you know, you're back to being a player technically again, and in those jobs and moving cities and finding jobs and, you know, grinding that way. So I like what I'm doing now and I'm happy. It has worked out the way it has.
Well, I'll tell you what though, the looking at players that turn broadcasters, there's not many more diversified than you right now. When you think about it, you get to do national games with TNT. You do a little bit with Sportsnet still. You got your Penguins gig on television. You got your Penguins pre and post. You got Penguins radio. You got your own podcast through Barstool, correct?
Yeah.
So do you need a couple of more jobs?
No, I'm good. I'm.
And you gotta keep your calendar pretty straight, don't you?
Oh, it's ridiculous. My wife does it. Like, she's amazing. She keeps me in line in a lot of ways, not only with work. And I have four kids, John, too. So it's like, it is crazy right now. And of course, this week is back to school. So we got that going on, as well as my son heading away to play in Rhode Island at Mount St. Charles. So I got to get him out there. Then he got drafted to the Seattle Thunderbirds of the Western League. So I got to go coast to coast out there, get him to camp, get him back to school again, where a season can start and school can run smoothly, hopefully for him. And then it's NHL media day and the season kicks off and I'm going like, you know, right out of the gate. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff. I've been fortunate though, with like Sportsnet and, you know, the people I got to work with there, you guys included, obviously, and learning and, you know, being on shows, the people behind the camera and the scenes and the producers and the staff and, you know, the skills that they have to be around that environment, being able to do Hockey Central at noon, which was one of my favorite things I got to do. I know for both of you, probably the same thing. It was a great show. It could have been like a 2-hour show. It was so fun. I think that was the most watched show in the hockey world.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Inside rooms, right?
Well, you go into a morning skate in the dressing room and the media is milling around, and on the TV is Hockey Central at noon. And like it, they like people watch it. It was like a good all around quick hit league topic show. But we got to interview GMs. We got to interview players. We had guests on there. I'd never done that. I still feel like I'm awkward at doing that, too wordy. And like I over critique myself, but I got to do like a bunch of different things through all these radio to interviews to TV to now co-hosting a podcast at Barstool under Spit and Chicklets. It's called Game Notes. We start on September 12th, little pump. But I've been really lucky. I think the people I work with, you know, the professionalism, the learning, coworkers to, and then to being put into situations where I'm able to like try and do different things as well, which is, I think, helped me grow.
You like, how do you get over the nerves?
Oh, buddy. I still get it. I like what? Anxiety, man. Anxiety riddled. And I know talking to Shani, like Shani's a driver, man. He pushes and, you know, being able to do color now, I'm new to that. New to color in the last few years here. I've enjoyed it. It's a challenge, no question.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. You get nervous doing this? Do you ever get nervous playing the game?
I feel like it's a different nervous. I think when you're playing and you're on a team, I'm just so used to like, you can hide behind guys. You can be like, when you're doing this, it's you. And it's like, how do you present and how do you perform and what do you say? And it's different than it's like, I guess it would be like being a tennis player in a sense that you're really, when it comes down to it, it's what do you offer? You know what I mean? And I know that's on a team, but when I'm on a team of like 20 guys, it's just, it's that comfort factor of a guy to lean on and stuff. And I know we work on panels or we have a broadcasting partner. But at the end of it, you kind of really, people watch you and just say either you suck or you were good or you're an idiot or we enjoy you. So it's a different kind of nervous, John, I would say. I don't know. It's strange.
Maybe just I've heard players put it this way. When they're skating, they were worried about the coach or their teammates being mad at them. And they were inside that bubble. When you're broadcasting, you're worried about embarrassing yourself to the world.
Yeah.
Like nobody was, when you're playing, you're not thinking about the fans or the media or anything like that. You're just thinking about the coach yelling at you.
It doesn't matter. Like, of course you want to play well, but like you want coach to be happy with you and trust you and like you. That's one person, you know, and maybe the assistants. And then your teammates to respect you and rely on you. I know social media has changed that for players now with the comment section and what have you. It used to just be the, you know, the sports section and the sports writers and the broadcasts, but it's opened that a little bit more, which I think players have to deal with. But and same with us in this business too. I mean, I say one dumb thing and it's like clipped and posted on social media. So it's like, oh my God, it'll never go away. Like it's hilarious kind of. I think being on the internet though, like doing the podcast like this, it dulls the nervousness after a while of doing it though, like because it's just the internet's a wild, crazy place, man. And I've like been kind of scared of it because of it. It kind of gives you a performance anxiety like no other. But at the same time, once you do it a lot more like anything else, I think you get more comfortable with who you are and how you are in those situations. So
by the way, that one of those comments was, I enjoy your work. I've never had that. So yeah.
those are rare actually on the internet, which makes the internet a wild. Yeah.
You get them in person because they're too afraid.
Nobody will come up to you and say you're a jerk and you're stupid.
Exactly.
They won't do that to your face, but they love to do it. They love to do it behind, you know, their Twitter account.
Yeah. What did John tell you when I didn't want this to turn into a broadcasting seminar, but you worked with John in the early days when you were on the panels at Sportsnet. Now he can be stern. What was his advice to you?
I remember one time he told me, don't force funny, which is actually a line that I still laugh about today, but it's a great line. And I think when you're doing TV, and as much as it's changed quite a bit with the looseness, I think there's a time for it and timing. And I think if it's not easy for you, you can force it and it cannot land, you know, right. And yeah. It doesn't land well. And I don't think you need to, as goofy and as dumb as I can be and as silly and light as I can be, I think finding a time for that instead of doing that, that's something that stuck with me, especially with my personality. So I'll never forget that. I think it was like an intermission and he just like grabbed me by the forearm and he's like, hey, don't force funny.
The line is, if you were going to be that funny, you should be doing stand up in Vegas.
Yeah. That's the line. Talk about nerves. I could never do that, but I could live in a guy's basement in Vegas. I got a spot to stay when I'm there.
You do. Anytime. Anytime. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Colby Armstrong. Talk a little bit what's going on around
the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're going to talk about Sid. Everybody's getting Sid traded. Okay.
Yeah. Let's get into that as we take a break and come back with Armdog on 100% Hockey with Millard and Chan.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When was the last time you talked to Sid?
Ooh, I was going to Flower's retirement party in Montreal and just hit him up to see if he was going to be there. He had a commitment already that weekend for another wedding. I think it was out of the country. So he was not going to be there. That was the last time I talked to him. So I'm hoping, and I keep bugging him, if I can go golfing with him before the season starts. He is an elusive man. He is a dedicated, he is in his lab, as they say. Complete machine. So at 38, which he turned this summer, everyone wonders how he can have, you know, the last 3 seasons of 90 plus points. It's because he is not, there's no noise, there's no distraction, there's nothing other than him getting prepared. And I think the thing I admire about the most about him is his preparation. Like, that's the hardest thing, like the grind every year, you know, 20 years of doing it, you know, and it's the pressure of him having to be, you know, with the expectation, that's noise to him. I think he just does it himself, what he thinks it should be, how he should perform. But to prepare himself mentally and physically, yes, you do the work, you committed, you're dedicated. I don't know if I've seen anyone in hockey as dedicated, really, just taking care of his body, but the mental preparation that he puts into coming into a season to be the way he is and lead the way he does, that's hard. Like, that is a real grind. Playing the game in the season, yes, managing a season, but preparing to go into that and staying in that mode all summer long and coming in with that is something I respect so much from him. So he's different. No question. And
was he always like that, Colby, from that first camp you saw him in 2005?
He different as an 18-year-old. I mean, it's crazy. I was 23 years old when I finally got called up to play with him. And it's like, I'm talking to him like he's like a 10-year veteran with what he was just so focused and dialed and wanting to be great and wanting to win. In every aspect of his life. And it's like cute, it's simple, and it's just him kind of is like, oh man, look at this guy. Wow. This guy just does it different. Wow. This guy. Okay. Let's be like, let's follow his lead. Like he changed it. And so everything that the Penguins has been thought of in the last couple decades here is, is his touch and his personality and the way he operates. So yeah, he's created a pretty good legacy here in Pittsburgh. But I'm hoping to get on the golf course with him before the season
starts. Have you played golf with him?
I think I played one round with him. I was amazed, actually. It was a few summers ago. I played with him prior when we were playing. I went out with him. But a few summers, he's a speed golfer. Like, he doesn't mess around. Like, he gets out of the cart, hits the ball, gets back in the cart, he's gone. Like, there's no, like, lining. Like, he doesn't mess around. So he's a business guy. He's just straight to the business. And pretty good. He's good, too.
Wow. I'm sure with that lower body, he can hit the ball a mile. So
if he gets that butt swinging in the right direction, I mean, that thing is gone with that thing.
Hey, you talked about going to Marc-Andre Fleury's retirement party. How was that?
Oh, it was awesome. One, Mark and his wife, Veronique, are like the classiest, nicest people. And for me and my wife to be invited. As he is today, as he was then. Veronique, his wife's English wasn't super good at the time. She's obviously so much better now, but we were so young. We were like 20 years old, you know. It was just we were just the minors. It was so simple. And to look now at his career and follow it and stay in touch, obviously, as friends, and then to be invited there was incredible. And then to see like a lot of the guys that were there, guys from like the Penguins, you know, Kunitz and Adams and Hal Gill and Andre Waugh, Jocelyn Thibault, you know, some of these guys that we played with back then, and even Stanley Cups in 09 with him, to like guys from Vegas and Reeves and Malcolm Subban, what an awesome kid. I to get to meet some of these guys, his Minnesota teammates that showed up, unbelievable guys. Like Marcus Foligno, unreal. Zach Bogosian, who I played with in Atlanta, 18, 19 years old. Haven't really hung out with him since, other than walking into a dressing room and he's in his half gear, you know, as a media guy. He's now married with 4 kids and like an awesome guy. Billy Guerin was there as well. Of course, former teammate, now GM of the Wild. And they got a great group of guys. Spurgeon. Go down the list. Hartman, great guy. I know people will be amazed to hear that with his style of play, but great guy. And so we had the wives and everyone that was there too, just an incredible experience. It was like a wedding. It was beautiful. The speeches were great. Max Talbot with an awesome kind of career poem that he wrote. It was unbelievable. And then to just hanging out and celebrating Mark with his friends and family also, It was awesome to be there. I will say this, guys, I left him at the end. I said, hey, buddy, congrats. Awesome. Thanks for having me. You have great, great friends. I mean, what a life in hockey, right? I said, hey, in January or February or whatever the cutoff is, like if a team's goalie goes down and we've seen issues, don't say no when they call. Don't say you can still come back if you want to. And he still could. He looks amazing. And so
what did he say?
He's like, okay, there's a little smile. You know how he is. He's like, oh, yeah. You're an idiot, Harvey. You're an idiot, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you get to have another party too. You get to do it all over again. Reeves used the same analogy, the wedding analogy. He thought the same thing.
Who did? Sorry.
Ryan Reeves said,
oh, Reeves, it felt like a big wedding. It was a wedding. It was where Derek Englund was there. Awesome guy. Yeah. Great to see him always. But yeah, it was a beautiful retirement party, and I got to meet and hang out in a different way with some of his teammates and former teammates. So it was a great 2 days up in Montreal.
It's quite a concept to actually be able to decide when you want to leave the game.
Yeah.
Celebrate it, as opposed to being told you have to leave the game.
Yeah, well, not everyone's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Oh, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, that's true. And I said to my wife when we were driving home, because we drove up there, we had to drop my kids off to the in-laws in Wilkes-Barre. And then we were going to fly. And then, you know, you do the math. You're like 2 hours to Newark, 2 hours to Philly. You know, I could rip 6 hours to Montreal. I like driving, guys. I'm a driver. I like getting in
the car.
Clears my brain. Like, I just focus. It's unbelievable. So I'm like, we're going to drive. So on the drive home, I'm like, how come I didn't have a retirement party? His was a celebration. Mine was like mine would have been like a funeral. I'd be like, I'm done. Fuck, nobody wants me. Nobody. Yeah, it's very different in these situations. Yeah, that's correct. And it was a lot of fun. I had a blast.
Trust me. There's three of us on this call that won't be able to celebrate retirement. We'll just be told.
Yeah. You're done. Yeah. Enjoy spending more time with the family. Yeah. Transition, Marc-Andre's done. And then there's all the rumors about Sid this year. What have you been telling people when they've come up to you? Say, what's going on with Sid?
I asked him a while ago. I'm like, hey, are you going anywhere? Like, because I read all this stuff too. And I'll be honest, I'm like scared to ask him. But I was like, hey, like, what's going on with this? I finally like mustered it up. We're in a text hot stove kind of. And his answer to me, and this is what I tell people, is, I love it here. Like, this is where I play. This is where I've been. This is what I've created. And, you know, my thinking of it is like, you know, to what we talked about a while ago, the legacy that he's built here and has on the Penguins. And when he came in, he changed it. And so, you know, he's been the face and the pulse of this team for so long, and putting it into the, you know, the realm of what we talk about this Penguins organization. And I think it means something to him to pass the torch, you know, and to leave it and help the younger guys and the next generation of Penguins players after he's gone, that this is the way it's done. And, you know, we heard that in Boston, right, when Chara left and all those guys talked about, you know, the Pasternak's and the McAvoy's and the Marchands when he was there. What Chara had left with Bergeron and all these others, right? And, you know, I think that legacy of passing, like, what it is to be a Penguin now and how you do it and how this runs, I think is of his thought process. And so that's what I tell people. That's what I know. That's what I think of his character too, is that he's a guy that thinks that way and feels that way. And until something changes, that's what I say. Have you guys heard?
We had Pierre LaRouche on from the alumni golf tournament first week.
Oh, he's awesome.
And Pierre said almost identically the same thing.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I can't see it happening. I just can't see from what I just said about the way he is. Could it happen? I don't know.
I think it could happen. I do.
Maybe not for a full year. I can't see it happening at all. I think that he, you know, it's, you know, Sid's won three championships there. Sid's a legend in Canada for what he's done on the Olympic stage. He doesn't need to go anywhere to prove anything to anybody, except staying in Pittsburgh would mean more as a legacy, just like Mario stayed.
Yeah.
And I think there's that.
Going somewhere else doesn't affect that legacy.
I think it might. Honestly,
Bork is still loved in Boston. Sundin still loved in Toronto. Like those guys that.
Yeah, but Sundin didn't start in Toronto. So Kobe, let me ask you, do you think there's a Mario influence still on Sid?
I think so. I think he living with him, I think learned a lot from him and, you know, Mario's very quiet guy and we don't see him doing any of these. No. I think Sid, personality-wise, is much the same. I think he's, and I think that's a great point. I think in mirroring one of his guys that he's ultimately came in and learned the most from, and I think that's a great point, John. Yeah, I think very Mario-like, and here in Pittsburgh, small town city, you know, it's... I think, you know, it's a great point to kind of tie those two together in that sense, 100%.
I just think if it wobbles a little bit and there's an opportunity there and it fits, why not take a shot?
Hold on, wobbles a little bit. This team hasn't made the playoffs for how long? Wobbles. Well, it's wobbled a lot.
It can always get worse.
I can't imagine it.
Gino's going this year, right? Like we're all in agreement. This is going to be the last year for Malkin.
I think in Pittsburgh, right? I don't know if he wants to do another year somewhere else or what will happen with him, but. Yes, that
he'll get to Florida. Don't worry. He'll get to Florida and they'll just have another forward and they'll put another Stanley Cup run together. I mean, can't you just see it?
Yeah, I know. I could see it. I could see it. Gino's another guy who's talking about, Kyle Dubas. Kyle Dubas was on that Cam and Strick podcast and talked about Malkin also, how underrated his career's been, you know, behind Crosby as the two-headed monster here. And, yeah, he's had those guys here have had, you know, him and Letang and Sid are just revered here in Pittsburgh. It's awesome. They're lifers, you know, to the people of Pittsburgh. So it's been a heck of a run. That was a big announcement for Malkin, you know, this summer with his last year here and kind of saying, this is it. But yeah, speaking of wobbles, like the team is on I don't know if they've used rebuild as a saying. I think it's kind of been said, you know, everyone's kind of scared of it, but there's no question that is happening. The draft picks, the acquiring of assets, the, you know, moving of players, the Jake Guentzel move, I think was big a few years ago. You know, and, you know, trying to restock cupboards, which is huge. I've loved being in Pittsburgh. And if you're a Penguins fan and you follow the Penguins, I mean, how great has it been, you know, with the three cups? Yes. But the fact that the Penguins have been on the tip of your tongue for the last, you know, and whether they've been not made the playoffs the last number of years, they've still kind of been of a team that if they get in the playoffs, that look out, like they could win a 7-game series. Like they have the guys to do that. So they've been on the tip of your tongue as like a perennial contender every year almost. And, you know, to trade first round picks and to go for it and that's what they've done. And so we're kind of in a phase now under Kyle Dubas now where he's been doing some work to, you know, draft, trade and acquire and try to build something up here. So I think it was a tough one. Wilkes-Barre, I believe, went out in the first round this year in the American Hockey League Calder Cup playoffs. And I think that was not the plan. I think they were expecting like kind of a run for some of their guys down there to have that experience. Didn't quite go as planned. So we'll see what that looks like coming into this year with some new draft picks and some new bodies and some older players and what that'll look like. But there's definitely obviously a big push right now for where the Penguins are at with Dubas and Spezza and others here now to kind of switch gears and get things rebuilt.
So what's the market think of Kyle?
I think they like him. I think coming in, there was an excitement that we were getting this young kind of whiz kid is kind of the understanding. I think there was some trepidation about his record, I guess, in the past of not being able to get it done, which everyone, it's well documented. But I think there's an excitement around, like, look, Pittsburgh's a great sports town and people, you know, as hard as it's been, support the Pirates, you know, this is a, you know, a great sports city though. And they understand though, I think when teams have been good, they understand like the life cycle, they understand like we've got to rebuild. I was at a little pub down the street meeting with our crew this year for Sportsnet Pittsburgh. And there's guys in there, you know, what are Pens going to do this year? Do you think we can have a chance at the playoffs? Like they're understanding. I've been at a game and talked to an usher that has worked at the rink for 20 years. And she's like, we don't have it this year. You know, you can tell when you've seen greatness and you've seen winning teams and, you know, the light, like where the team's at and you know what's happening, people know. And so I think there's an understanding with Kyle is, you know, to use kind of like a hip kid term, let him cook, you know, you got to let him cook a bit here and get things working. And then ultimately there's going to come a time where his, his plan will be laid on the table. But right now, I think everyone's in understanding that he's been brought in and he's going to do his job to straighten and get things cooking again.
John, I was waiting for you to respond to let him cook.
Well, no, the
t-shirt he bought it online. He wears it.
The let him cook. I mean, every manager, Kenny Holland has, we had to let them ripen in Grand Rapids. You know, that's what Kenny used to always say. So every manager has one of those little sayings to deflect what's actually going on. Because it's funny, because I'm a Kyle fan. Mm-hmm. I know him, I think, a little bit. And he's in a tough spot, man. He's in a tough spot. And a lot of it is because they did win those Stanley Cups in 16 and 17. And they did try to mortgage the future in trying to continue that legacy. And I mean, I remember sitting with Jimmy Rutherford saying, we're all in. As long as Sid and Malkin and Letang are here, we're all in. And in the end, it's, you know, in many ways, the Penguins are still paying for it.
And through that, too, like Fenway Sports Group has come in and bought the team. And then Kyle has come in as a Fenway guy also. And what's the mandate of the new ownership to the prior ownership? And is it going to change? And now what's going to happen? We have these three legacy players and how this is going to work on a rebuild situation. So there's been a lot happening in Pittsburgh in the last, I would say, 5 years through all of this.
And discussions about whether Fenway really wants to be involved with the Penguins or not.
Well, I just saw that Elliot Friedman with the Hoffman group that is now, it was before it was the Mario Burkle.
Well, the only thing I would say is I was always told that Fenway loves the Penguins, still do, but they were looking for a minority partner. Like they're prepared to sell 49%.
Yeah, and that's the Mario Burkle team kind of came back in. It got kind of tampered down, like we need a minority partner. And then now, yesterday, when this story about the Hoffman group come out. And so interesting times here in Pittsburgh. Look, like 20 years ago when Sid first came in, we were going to Kansas City. We were on the ice, and I think, you know, the BlackBerry guys in the building in a tuxedo trying to buy the pay. Like we had a lot of stuff going on. So a few decades later, here we are again.
You weren't going to Kansas City, Colby. You were going to Hamilton, baby.
Hamilton. Yeah.
You were going to Hamilton.
It was so funny. I think I saw that movie, which is interesting because it kind of shows that time. But there's like old video footage from like, I don't know what it would have been, that Fox Sports 1 in Pittsburgh covered it. And, you know, the late, great Stan Saverin here in Pittsburgh and interviewing at a press conference, and Mario comes in. We're like playing a game. This is like during a game. And Balsillie's there, the BlackBerry guy, like pretty much introducing like a sale of the Penguins while we're playing. And there's like footage of him being on the call
they were on the broadcast. He was on the broadcast.
The broadcast. Well, the game was going on about like this new team that he, and then of course it didn't happen. And Mario, you know, saved the team. That was a great night being in the house for that when he came out and announced that the team's not going anywhere. So, Mario's a legend here in Pittsburgh. And I think that got a lot of people kind of excited just because it's Mario, when the rumors came out that he wanted to get back into the picture, just because he's such a legend here. So I don't know. It's interesting, guys, like the business side. And, you know, we got a down, like where the old Mellon Arena was too. They're creating an entire like upper downtown there with buildings and housing and apartments and retail and concert venue. And like, there's a whole thing. And we know that Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, that whole area, that the Canadians have it. You know, every team is building like a city around involved in their whole business operation.
Anaheim might be the biggest one. Wait till you see what's going on in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, they're doing the same thing.
Exactly the same thing. Spectacular.
Wow, yeah. So it's you're not just buying a team now. You're not just buying a team. You're buying like half a downtown, like whole mini city with your team. So it's... Yeah, it's a lot. And it's crazy. Didn't they sell it for like $900 million?
Yeah.
And then Elliot says it's $1.75 billion in a few years. That's a pretty good return if you do decide to get your money. Wow.
So can you give Lemieux a text? Say, Ace, what's going on?
Ace, what's up? Yeah. No, I as I said, I'm scared to ask Sid. You think I'm texting Le Magnifique? Not a chance.
He always says hello to you, though, Colby. He always shake your hand and say, how you doing, you know?
He invites me to his fantasy camp, which is awesome. I've met some great guys. He lets me skate out there with them and hang around all his friends and, you know, his the ex-players that are buddies with him that all come in for that. I love the guys before. I love talking to them.
How do you beat it? How do you
love knowing stuff about them? I love hearing about them. I love their stories. They're the best. So, yeah, the alumni guys are.
You know what you got to do is you got to convince the people at Sportsnet that damn Colby couch. get alumni guys. They actually talk.
They do, and they're awesome. Yeah, get them in their old gear on the couch.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, I feel like you're a dentist sometimes because you are pulling teeth out of those kids. You are pulling teeth.
What people don't know, John, and you guys would know this, Darren, is when you do that, it's NHL media day. So I get that all at the start of the year. But I get it's very strict, the NHL. They're very strict with you get
down to the second
minutes. Starting now, and when it's 15 minutes or like he's done, I could be in the middle of something. I could have just finally got him to be awesome and he's gone. It's like, okay, see ya. Like, boom, microphone off, he's done. But it is from 8 a.m. until 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon of another guy. And I'm on my skates the whole time. So I gotta be on. I'm pounding coffee. If I can go to the bathroom, and I'm lucky. Like it is just because like you can't miss a minute. You can't miss a minute of these guys. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of work. Let's say that.
Well, there's hundreds. I was going to say thousands of people listening to the podcast, but hundreds of people listening to the podcast saying, "Wow, Colby worked 8.5 hours."
Wow. Yeah,
that's really hard.
It's in Vegas. I don't stay on the strip. When I'm done, I go back to my room, my room service. I'm mentally tapped out. It's so hard. So I'm like, I'm not enjoying Vegas at all when I'm there. I don't see the sunshine at all when I'm there. And I am a grinder, boys. I am a grinder.
That's NHL Media Day in Vegas. It was a 2-day event a couple of weeks before the start of training camp. And the times that I've done it, two occasions I've had a player walk in out of order and it's a younger guy and I've never met him before. And I'm looking at my sheet going,
who is this guy?
Like I've done that.
Some great guys though, like guys that people don't know about, which I'm thankful for. Like San Jose a few years ago sent Mario Ferreira.
Oh my God.
What an incredible guy. Like I loved him. Radko Gudas.
Yeah.
One of the more
he's great.
Guy's unbelievable. I love them. So sometimes you look at the list and you're like, oh God, you know, they have all their stars and you're like, okay, why did they send this guy instead of their captain star face of the team? And then they come and I'm like, oh my God, this is my new favorite guy. So you get some great moments and some great guys and open your eyes. And there's a lot of great personalities in this league. And sometimes you get to see them.
Okay. When does your podcast start again?
September 12th, boys. Yeah. We're back in the saddle September 12th and run every Friday.
For the record.
Attaboy.
For the record, this podcast never took the summer off.
Yeah. Well, you guys are veteran grinders.
I wanted to.
He wanted to. And just so you know, Colby, all those nights I spent in the Situation Room when you played, whatever team you were playing with, there was always that, watch out for that number 20. Watch out when he's playing. He hits high. Watch out. Everybody's watching. So, you know, you couldn't hide on the ice in the Situation Room. They knew who you were.
Oh, I knew that, too, when we had our, you know, eventually as I was establishing myself for our preseason meetings with the league and we'd get the video clip with the league guy that would come in and be like, here's a hit that is not allowed, like, you know, cracking down on these plays and we're changing this. And it was like, I was like in two of the highlights of like what they were showing. Like, this isn't good. But in a sense, in my head, I'm like, this is good. Guys are thinking.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up. I got to go play golf at Summit with Sid. So sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure whether Ace is going to make it or not, but yeah, but Sid and I are on the team.
Well, by the way, if Mario's there, LaRouche is in the cart too. So it's all right. Yeah.
It's good. It's a great foursome. They'll love hanging out with me. Arm Dog, say hi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mel, thanks for doing this, buddy.
100% hockey. Thanks for having me, boys.
He played for both the Montreal Canadiens and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Atlanta Thrashers in there, Pittsburgh Penguins. Put the teams that he played for. Pretty cool. And he doesn't have his game-worn sweater from the Habs. And he tried to get it, and things just fell through the cracks. And that's one thing that still bugs him.
We should do a GoFundMe page for him then.
They thought they had it, and there was a mix-up, and it never got to him.
Well, but Colby's the type of guy, though, when he got a Leaf one and it said Armstrong number 10, they thought it was him, too.
Yeah.
So, come on now.
He is twice as good.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, by the way, I hate to do this, but I think we have to finish on a serious note today. Okay. Mark Curtin passed away.
Yes.
48 hours ago. Mark Curtin was an NHL player, played for Detroit, played for Vancouver, played for the Maple Leafs. But in the end, Mark Curtin is now so well known for what he did to fight the fight against Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, that he contracted in 2017. He became a huge advocate for trying to improve the lives of those with ALS, trying to get more drugs and better drugs, and finding a cure for ALS. But unfortunately, on the weekend, Mark lost his battle with the disease, and we are less rich because of that. Mark Curtin was an unbelievable person and an unbelievable advocate in trying to solve the issues of ALS. And I certainly hope, and I think this is incumbent on all of us, Darren, and anybody that knew Mark, anybody in the hockey community, that we carry on the fight to find a cure for ALS. Mark was an amazing, amazing man. And his family were amazing people through this fight with him. And it's been a couple of sad days knowing that Mark's fight has ended. But I don't think the fight against ALS has ended.
Very public battle.
And got even more public, too, after Boreas Salming came back and admitted that he had ALS and then passed away rather quickly after that. And Mark became a huge confidant of Boreas, a former teammate of his in Toronto. So it's, I just hope if we as a community don't do more, then shame on us for the foundation that Mark laid in trying to find a way to rid this world of such a horrific disease.
Work to do there, but a positive result on another front with Mike Brophy, our good friend that we worked with both at the Hockey News and at Sportsnet, who was on the podcast this year.
Right, and he's going to come back on, I think, next week.
Great story, a great result with him.
So he needed a kidney transplant. He was down to less than 10% efficiency of his kidney. He has had a kidney transplant and is at home now resting. And we're pleased to say that Mike's going to come on next week to talk about it. And maybe he lives in Ottawa. Maybe we can give an insight to what's going on with the Senators as well.
And some awesome news with the Senators in the rink.
Yeah, it's still a long way away, though. We're talking 7 years.
Really? It sure sounded faster than that, like with the land purchase.
Long way away.
Oh. Well, we'll still be doing this.
Well, you will be. And we'll call it 50% hockey.
You'll be down there. looking up, right?
Don't go there.
Can't believe you thought I was writing you off. Thanks to Colby Armstrong, and thanks to you. If you're liking what you hear, give us a like and subscribe, and maybe tweet it out or on X or whatever. Share it with the masses. Love to get the message out and explore the world of hockey with even more people. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.